Derby. Join me for Bridgewater Hall's Manchester Classical Weekender, featuring live concerts from the BBC Philharmonic and the Halle. There's a starry cast of soloists in Elgar's glorious oratorio, The Apostles, with the Halle and Sir Mark Elder. We celebrate the 50th birthday of the Royal Northern College of Music in a special gala concert. Join me, Tom McKinney, for Music from Manchester. Listen now on BBC Sounds.
In an hour from now, here on BBC Radio 3, Kevin Legendre presents J to Z. This week, the Norwegian saxophonist Mette Henrietta's inspirations, plus live music from the Leeds juggernaut Ferg's imaginary big band. That's at 5 o'clock. But first, time for Music Planet. And today, Lopa Kotari introduces a programme devoted to the master tabla player Zakir Hussain.
I'm Lopa Kotari and welcome to another Music Planet special. A bit of a cross between This Is Your Life, for those of you who are old enough to remember that programme, and Desert Island Discs, when we dedicate the whole hour to a musician of exceptional talent and standing in the world of music. And as you may have guessed from that opening track, our guest today is none other than the multi-award-winning tabla supremo Zakir Hussain, and he's taken time out of his day to come and join me in the studio here at Broadcasting House. Zakir, welcome.
Oh, thank you, Lopa. Nice to be here.
You know, I was going to say drum roll, please, but given what you get out of the tabla, I thought a drum roll might sound a bit tame, even lame.
Oh, you're too kind. There are many drummers I know who might not agree, but that's okay.
Zakir, you are a man forever touring, it seems. And it all began when you were just, what, 11 years old?
Oh, as a professional player?
Yeah.
off by a year there, 12 actually. That's when I mustered up enough courage to be able to answer one of my father's letters. I mean, he was invited to go perform at a festival, but he was traveling. So I answered the letter and I said, well, the Ustad is not available. He's on tour. But his son is. Would you like him to come instead? Meant as just a joke or something. But they fell for it.
Oh, my gosh.
And they said, sure, send his son over. And this is what we'll pay him and da-da-da and everything. And next thing I knew, I was packing to go play in Patna, a city in Bihar, as a replacement for my dad.
And what did your father think of
this? He had no clue. My mother had no clue. I just took it upon myself. I was a school-going kid. But
wow, what courage.
Yeah, and my friends and me, we just kind of pooled up all our money and bought me a unreserved seat in a train, one way.
With no way. You didn't think you were coming back.
I said, it might be safer not to come back. But that's how it all began. I was 12. And when I got back, my mom was furious, obviously. I was going to be in the doghouse. But the first thing I did as I walked into the house is I handed her an envelope of money that I was paid, and all was well.
Well, Zakir, tell me about those early years. I guess it was a given that music would be your life. Your father, Allah Raka Khan, one of the legends of Indian classical music, was also your teacher.
Yes, he was my guide, my teacher, my mentor. He would hold me in his arm and sing rhythms in my ear. And that was the routine that he followed. Obviously, he was hell-bent on passing on the information. And so I started off as being his listening device and then on to being his student, his son, then his apprentice, his assistant, his colleague, and then finally his friend. Oh. And so many different relationships with my father have basically shaped me in his sound. I wouldn't say in his image, but in his sound.
Well, I want to ask you about your record collection, but first I'm going to share something with you. And it's the oldest tune that I've ever played on Music Planet.
Really?
It's Taksim Layali,
a AD, Mawal. AD or BC?
1910 was the recording. And it's a Mawal. It's a style of improvisation that this performer, Abd al-Hay Hilmi, excelled at. And some say that no one has matched him since.
I believe that in that world, music was an extension of what is known as Kirat, which is the recitation of the holy book. And the recitation of the holy book was almost too musical. It was just melodically astounding and astonishing on the same level as a Gregorian chant or something.
Yeah. Well, let's have a listen to this. Mm-hmm. The 1910 recording of Hilmi performing Taksim Layali, which is a Mawal. And of course, 1910, so it is a little bit scratchy and ropey in parts.
All the better.
فرهام بسلعب وعن حال الشهيد ساهي ما كفاك الهجر يا ساهي فرهام بسلعب وعن وصول الشهيد الليل طول يا أمل الليل طول يا أمل صهرا عليك
Abd al-Hay Hilmi and Taksim Layali. When Hilmi sang, he threw the rule book out of the window and just improvised to its heart content, which is what made him such a successful artist. He was also known for his drinking and stomping out of a performance like a spoilt child if you thought that those in his line of view were just too ugly. And like you were saying, Zaki, when we were listening to that, I love that you can hear his audience on that recording calling out their appreciation in the background. Zaki, frankly speaking, that sounds a bit like you. Not the stomping out in a tantrum, but this absolute love of improvisation and letting the spirit take you.
Yeah. I mean, you're conversing with something very unique, a personality, a spirit, you know, a being, a divine presence, if you will, to be able to be lucky enough to be accepted by that spirit into its fold. I mean, that's the only way you're going to be able to make music that means anything.
I'm curious, Zakir, tell me, what did you listen to at home? I mean, did you have a record player in your room? Was it all Indian classical or was it Bollywood?
Well, we were too poor to actually own a record player. There was a radio, so we heard Indian film music. There would be national program of Indian classical music, great masters. I heard that. I mostly went to concerts with my father, so I heard live music. But later on, when I was about 10 years old or something, my father came back from one of his journeys with Ravi Shankarji and brought home a boombox and some tapes of Yusuf Lateef, a jazz great, Grateful Dead.
Oh, my goodness me.
Jefferson Starship, The Doors. And for some reason, I just latched onto The Doors tape. I put it on the boombox and I'd walk up and down the neighborhood playing it as loud as I could. That was the first non-Indian music tape that I had. But my first experience of Western music was walking into this concert hall in Bombay with my father, this passage coming on piano, and it was an amazingly beautiful line, like a vamp. And it just stuck with me. It was the introduction or intro vamp of A-Train, Duke Ellington's big band. I mean, I stood there next to my father and he sat down in his seat and he's waiting for me to sit down. And my jaw was down and I was looking at the stage and hearing this incredible swing. And my foot was tapping on its own. 10 years old, I was just taken in. I was sucked in. And I realized at that moment that there's something out there that I need to go and see and hear and make it a part of my conversation.
The music you've brought in to share with us on the programme today, that is your first choice. I'm going to play it now. So it was Take the A-Train, Duke Ellington.
Duke Ellington.
When you were just age 10.
The Duke. The Duke. Original Duke before John Wayne. Thank you.
that opening vamp on the piano must be bringing back all the memories, Zakir.
Yeah, memory. Wow. My dad just stood in front of me for a second. That was great.
And what's not to love about that? Duke Ellington, the Duke, and Take the A Train. I am here with Zakir Hussain, the world's greatest living tabla virtuoso, who has taken the tabla.
May I interrupt and say, please. I'm not the world's greatest living tabla player. There are others who are just as good, if not better, on their day.
But, well, you are one of the greatest. Collaboration and fusion has been and remains an important part of your music making, doesn't it? I mean, you've worked with so many amazing musicians, from Billy Cobham and Mickey Hart, of course, and I want to talk about Planet Drum a bit later on. And let's not forget about John McLaughlin and Shakti. And may I say happy 50th anniversary?
Oh, yes.
Celebrating the 50th of Shakti.
Yes,
years
here we
Shakti
are, 50 years down the road, still hanging together.
Yeah.
And it's so much fun. It's amazing.
How do these exchanges happen? I mean, how do these people
effortless,
come into your life?
Effortless. I mean, it had to be. It felt right when it happened. And so, therefore, it has stuck. I remember meeting John McLaughlin in New York at a place called the House of Musical Traditions. I was doing a tabla workshop there. And he showed up because he heard some Indian musician was there and he wanted to learn something about Indian music, maybe a raga or two or something. So the first thing I did with him was I gave him a vocal lesson. And I can't sing to save my life. I mean, just no way. But I told him something about the scales and stuff and so on and so forth. And that was that. But he remembered me and took my number, contact. And when he came to the Bay Area, San Francisco, where I was teaching at the Ali Akbar College, he called me up and took the time to invite me to come to listen to his band. Till then, I had no clue who John McLaughlin was. I had just known him as this guy who wanted to learn some Indian ragas. So he invited me, and I went to the Berkeley Community Theater in Berkeley. I went and I sat down, and the lights went on stage, and Billy Cobham hit the gong. Psh! It was a big sound, and I thought, wow, a gong. Interesting. And then this guitar lick began, an arpeggio thing. It had these incredible notes, and it was a similar feeling as the one when I heard Duke Ellington. Yeah. Wow, what a line. Yeah. And at that time, this piece, Birds of Fire, came on, and it was Mahavishnu Orchestra. And John and I got together, and he said he wanted to meet Ali Akbar Khan Sahab, the great Sarod Maestro. So I brought him there. And John always carried an acoustic guitar with him. And Ali Akbar Khan Sahab said to him, would you play something for me in his living room? And John looked at me and said, would you join me? And there was a tabla set there. And we started to play. And it was like we had done this before. Here we are 50 years later, still at it.
I think that's the perfect introduction then. The Mahavishnu Orchestra, which was, of course, New York's jazz fusion band that John McLaughlin set up in 71.
It opened my eyes to
collaborative
element of the music.
And we're going to play the title track of the album, Birds of Fire. So let's hear it. Thank you. Birds of Fire, the title track of the last studio album recorded by the original lineup of John McLaughlin's Mahavishnu Orchestra back in 1973. Zakir, you were saying that that was your first introduction in many ways to John.
To John, yes.
And his music.
First time I saw him in a spotlight like that.
But what was it about jazz and experimental jazz in particular that spoke to you? How did you take that next step? I mean, the next track we're going to play is Miles Davis. I think that was a key moment for you, wasn't it?
They're both key moments for me and they both involve John in a way. But for instance, this piece, Birds of Fire, I mean, I had never thought that there would be another genre of music that would compose a song or arrange a song in a rhythm cycle of 9 beats, which is something that we do in India a lot. I had not heard it till then. And a scale, the way the scale was, melodic mood of the particular song, it harked to some kind of a raga mode in Indian classical music. The way they improvised as a unit was something that was beyond me. I mean, here was a band which was improvising freely, doing things so spontaneously, and the creative process, it was in full flow, like Niagara Falls. and just to watch that happen in some place other than an Indian classical music stage was a revelation. That led to me playing with him in Ali Akbar Khan Saab's living room. That was like a double whammy. And then the triple whammy was asking John about jazz one day. And can I get some insight so I can be a better player with you and so on? And he said, you want to know about jazz? Listen to this. And he puts on Miles Davis and he plays So What? And said, just listen to that. He said, not just that, look, listen to the name of the song. What kind of attitude it is putting forth. Just the name, So What?
Let's have a listen to The Doorway to Jazz. So What? Miles Davis from that phenomenal album, Kind of Blue.
Amazing. John McLaughlin, myself and Shankar Mahadevan made an album called Is That So?
So what? Is That So? Brilliant. Well, that was So What? From Miles Davis, and kindly regarded by many as a masterpiece.
I mean, he just totally described Miles and his, you know, persona. You looked at him and it was like he was saying to the world, so what?
Yeah, Zakir, I've heard you say that in limiting yourself to one particular kind of music, you're limiting yourself as a creative artist.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that adventuring spirit come from?
It actually stems from one statement or mantra that my father would always tell me before we started our lessons. And that was, son, don't try to be a master. Just try to be a good student and you'll get by just fine. He, of course, said it in Urdu. I'm just translating it. What it basically meant was that people like him or Pandit Ravi Shankarji or Ustad Ali Akbar Khan or John McLaughlin or Miles Davis, John Coltrane, you name it, George Harrison, these people at the pinnacle point in their career, but what they wanted to do was learn more. I know that there's a lot out there and there's miles to go before I sleep. If I don't learn, I cannot converse in the language of today.
Well, I want to talk to you about how you go about composing music, especially when you're working with those not versed in Indian classical music. But before we do, here's my next record. I don't know if you've heard of a young percussionist called Bex Birch, but she's got a group called Vulaveel, and she plays the Ghanaian xylophone, the gil.
Mm-hmm.
She writes pretty complex music with kind of insane time signatures. And the way she explains them to the other two members of her trio, who've had a totally different musical journey, is by drawing what she calls a wheel, a cycle of rhythm, a kind of musical mandala.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, until the composition enters their bloodstream, the bassist and the drummer can see the pattern behind their cues and where they fit in to the piece. So this is Vulaveel, recorded by BBC Radio 3 team, live at WOMAD back in 2019.
We'll be right back.
Interesting stuff, huh, Zaki?
Yeah, I mean, it's just amazingly interesting, actually. It's conflicting ideas that actually converge and become harmonious and then go on their way to meet again at another point.
And, you know, the thing that I suppose surprises me in many ways is that you listen to it, you really get into it. And although you've got all these odd time signatures and things going on, somehow the body feels very happy dancing to its own little tune alongside.
Yeah, it's also the choice of sound that is being injected into the piece that helps to tie one's ear into the proceedings. It's very nice.
So when did you get into Western classical or orchestral music? It must have been a real out of your comfort zone kind of thing.
If I'm going to speak in the language of the musician who I am interacting with, then I better learn that language. That I learned from someone like John McLaughlin. John McLaughlin took the time to learn the rhythm cycles and the ragas before we formed Shakti. He was already aware of it. And that allowed us to be able to work without any hesitancy. It's having that mindset that it's okay to be able to converse in a different rhythmic environment.
Yeah.
And another inspiration for that was Baba Tunde Olatunji from Nigeria, whose Drums of Passion, I believe, was one of the first rhythm album to break through. I think 65 or 1966, Baba Tunde Olatunji did the album Drums of Passion. And to have this album come out and break through and point to rhythm being the core of our creative process was an eye-opening moment for me. And interestingly enough, it was Mickey Hart of the Grateful Dead, my pal, friend, drum mate, who I am still working with 50 years down the road, was the one who played the Drums of Passion for me and said, we've got to do something that complements this record.
And Baba Tunde Olatunji was, in fact, one of the members, isn't it?
Of Planet Drum. But this was
way before that.
We formed Planet Drum.
Well, let's hear it. This is Baba Tunde Olatunji and his Drums of Passion. We're going to play the track called Akiwobo, Chant to the Train Man.
We'll be right back.
Babatunde Olatunji and Akiwowo chant to the train man from his first album with Columbia Records, Drums of Passion, released in 1959, which is curious because it was the same year as Kind of Blue.
And when I was
looking at your choice, I thought, wow, two absolutely monstrous albums that had a huge impact on you and where your music went. For those of you that have just tuned in, I am in the studio with Zakir Hussain for a special Music Planet. He is a man in whose hands the tabla reaches heights that it never imagined. A rare breed of musician whose skill, can I say this, outplays his instrument? Because it is, of course, what you put in.
Oh, I don't want to insult the spirit of my instrument. No, because if the spirit doesn't accept me, I am not able to communicate at all with the instrument.
So then let's put it this way, that the tabla has embraced you as a great conversationalist.
I'm fortunate to be its brother, its friend, its mate, whoever.
Zaki, did you ever think about doing anything else or even a different instrument, maybe, if it was going to be music? No.
Thought never crossed my mind. I mean, I guess there was no time for the thought to cross my mind. Mm. It was not possible. And I was in love. I am in love with this instrument.
Zaki, we have to talk.
We do.
About,
what have we been doing?
We have to talk about the first Grammy.
Oh, my God.
In 1992, it was the first time ever that a Grammy was awarded in the world music category. Mm. And it was for your album with Mickey Hart and the group that you formed, Planet Drum. Mm. It must have been amazing.
It was shocking. Who could have imagined that a drum album, a pure drum album, would actually win a Grammy? It all started with the Drums of Passion.
Yeah.
And bringing attention to drums being the driving force, just like in So What, the bass, which is actually a rhythm section instrument, driving the tune. It was exactly like that. And we both felt that Olatunji should be called in and asked to helm the project because he was a senior musician and inspiration to all of us. One of the great things about Planet Drum was that it had great master, shaman master like Ayerto Morera, and one of the most incredible Indian percussionists ever, my Shakti mate, Vinayak Ram Viku, was part of it. And Mickey, of course, was there. But we introduced a young conga genius who is considered in the world now as the conga maestro, Mr. Giovanni Hidalgo, who was a very young player at that time. And he joined us, and Planet Drum was recorded in Mickey's living room.
Well, let's hear Sweet 16 from that first album that you did with Mickey, called Simply Diga, with a group that was the forerunner to Planet Drum.
Yeah. Thank you.
Zakir Hussain and Mickey Hart, the Digha Rhythm Band and Sweet 16 from their first album together back in 1976. Zakir, we've spent most of our time looking outwards in a way, and we've not really talked much about the music scene in India. What are your feelings about music in India these days? Has it changed much over the years? Is it in a healthy state?
Well, music has changed everywhere in the world.
Yeah.
Indian classical music, in my opinion today, is at a level of creativity not seen before. Respects and reverence to greats like Bade Ghulam Ali Khan Sahab or Amir Khan Sahab or Vilayat Khan Sahab, Ravi Shankar Ji and so on. When I was learning Indian classical music as a young man, I was learning Indian classical music, and then I looked outwards and tried to learn jazz or rock or pop or Western classical and so on and so forth. These musicians, young kids of today, they grow up learning all forms of music at the same time. They have a reference using the sensibilities of Western classical harmonic system or Japanese pentatonic scales or Middle Eastern slightly flat scales, and how the same raga or the same melodic structures will sound using these other musical ideas.
Setting,
so when they are doing this, they have a universal understanding of what a mode or a raga scale can be. Similarly, a rhythmic understanding. It's at Renaissance level. I think there's a world renaissance going on when it comes to creative arts. I'm just happy that I'm here to see it happen.
Well, that's a wonderful note to end on, because that really is it for Music Planet today. Zakir Hussain, it's been great to have you back here on the programme. I've often heard you say that music is not mine to own, it's mine to share. And that's exactly what you've done today. So thank you for sharing your life and your music with us on Music Planet. Well, we've got what I think is the perfect way to end the programme. It's your final choice, Zakir, Face to Face from Shakti and the album Natural Elements. And thanks to all of you for joining me, Lapa Qatari, and my guest, Zakir Hussain, for this very special edition of Music Planet.
music from the band Shakti, ending this week's edition of Music Planet, in which Zakir Hussain was in conversation with Lobo Qatari about the music he loves. The producer was Michael Rossi. Next week, join Catherine Tickell for a session with the Greek rebetiko band Kyriakos Gouvantas. That's next Saturday at 4 o'clock. And in the meantime, do look out for a new series starting tomorrow evening on Radio 3. The Iranian singer Mahsa Vahdat introduces the first of three programmes on Iranian or Persian classical music. That's at 11 tomorrow night. Back to this Saturday afternoon on BBC Radio 3. It's 5 o'clock now and time for J to Z.
Welcome, I'm Kevin Legendre, and on the show today I'll be bringing you a high-energy set from Leeds group Ferg's Imaginary Big Band, recorded at this year's Manchester Jazz Festival. And Mette Henrietta, a rising star from Norway, will be sharing her musical inspirations. But first, brand new music from London, shaped by the sound of West African Mandé music among many other influences. This is Balamaya Project with Anka Toulon.